Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, that the King of glory may come in. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In 2012, Google began an internal study that they called Project Aristotle. It was a project that was designed to analyze how people worked together, how they interacted with each other. They wanted to know what the company needed to do in order to build the best team possible. Did they need the best people in every field? No. Did they need the most cheerful and perky people that money could buy? No. Did they need the most electronically savvy graduates from every top university throughout the world? Well, maybe, but not exactly. The researchers were stumped because there was nothing showing that a mix of specific personality type or a mix of the specific skills or backgrounds made any difference in the working teams at all. No difference at all. Then what was it? For a while, the people at Google couldn't figure it out, but they eventually stumbled upon, when they were researching this project, there was one team where a supervisor of an employee group had to be vulnerable. He had recently come down with cancer and had a cancer diagnosis. And although he was initially very private about this diagnosis with his work team, he decided that he would let them in and share his story. And because he did that, the work group started opening up with each other about all kinds of other life issues and challenges. And as a result of this specific team, Google was able to identify and name a concept that had been known by managers for decades, but it was never named. They came up with this concept of psychological safety. Google, now in their personnel manuals, describes psychological safety as the most important factor in building a successful team. And they have identified that the best of the best contribute to the conversation equally, and they respect one another's emotions. The team always performs better than any one individual. The team always performs better when people have empathy, when they care for one another, when they listen, and they have a psychologically safe environment that builds up people, that builds trust and care and compassion and concern, and for Google's sake, ultimately success. And so in some ways, what Google did when they researched this in 2012 is exactly what we find Jesus doing today. In the portion of this great prayer that Jesus prays in John chapter 17, Jesus is praying for his disciples, and we find him praying also for all the people that they will interact with. He prays that the love that he gives to his disciples will then be passed on to others. And then he prays for their unity, that they may always be on a common mission together, because we all know that the disciples used to fight about who was the most important, who was going to sit at the right hand of God, who was going to be with Jesus in all his glory. But Jesus in this prayer prays for their unity, that they will always have this common mission, and that the good news of the kingdom of God is a message that's always focused on God's love for the world. And then finally, we hear today Jesus praying for his own love to be in them always until the end of time. Now, as John's gospel is set up, this great prayer that we hear by Jesus is prayed before Jesus goes to the cross, before he's crucified. But honestly, the themes of this, what a better way to tie up the Easter season, this celebration of the great 50 days, which concludes today. We read these words of Jesus today in light of what we know that the church has already experienced. So we're left with these words, and these words that we hear for the disciples' comfort and for their strength, and they're there for ours as well. We, let's face it, haven't really had summer yet in Phoenix, but we know it's coming. We know during the summer times here that many of our friends travel away and they're not around as much. And that we also know that when it gets extremely hot, that some people's health doesn't permit them to really get out very much at all. And then we also realize that there are many people around us who struggle financially during the summer to make ends meet when their electric bill skyrockets. And anybody who owns a small business knows that if you have anything related to tourism at all in this town, we're starting to enter the slowest time of the year. Summer is coming, and we all need to prepare, and we'll all do it in one way or another. And so we hear this prayer by Jesus today, and this is really a prayer for us. That the love we've shared all year, all throughout our program year with our neighbors, like the great work, I mean awesome work we've done down the street at Garfield Elementary, and the work we do every day during the week at ICM Food and Clothing Bank, and with all of our volunteer projects, and all of you are involved in something in your own neighborhood, I know this, and they're all fantastic. The prayer that we are receiving today is a prayer for our strength to keep going, to seek out those who need us to step up to the plate when we hear our calls to help out with, for example, in the summer, local heat respite centers or setting up hydration stations or to get our neighborhood kids at Garfield ready for success for the first grade when we begin our backpack drive next week. To live into our call in our mission, our vision of the cathedral, to be a beacon of light for all in our greater area. That love is the type of love that helps us be more compassionate. This love that Jesus asked his disciples to pass on to others, that is the type of love that helps us be more compassionate people. To hear so that at times, like for example, when we hear about this terrible shooting in Virginia Beach, it's a way that we can still continue to respond with compassion and mercy and love. So when we share love, this tender-hearted love and lots of compassion and sharing this kind of love, that's the first thing that Jesus' prayer is for us about. But then we're called to be united. We're called to live as brothers and sisters, as one beloved community. Because the summer might be a time when many of us take a break and go away. But it's not a time we distance ourselves from one another. This is intrinsic in desert culture. I lived in Palm Springs before I lived here, and it's absolutely intrinsic that people here isolate in the summer. But on the contrary, the summer should be the time when we are called to identify those areas in which we feel most united to other people and that we continue to make those connections. And that we also brainstorm during that time how we might share this unity, this fellowship that we have with an even broader group. Think about it. What are you going to do or what might you do this summer to help you be more united with your family or maybe your friends or maybe even with your coworkers in that time in the summer when everybody's tired and everybody's like, I really want to be sitting out on a beach in Hawaii somewhere, but I'm here at work. How are you going to help foster that kind of fellowship? And maybe this includes some forgiveness too, because is there someone that you need to forgive? Or maybe that someone that you need to seek forgiveness from? Or how about we maximize this season of the year to create spaces of trust, of vulnerability, of ways of doing that where we create those spaces of psychological safety so that everyone feels included, that everyone knows without a doubt that they belong. This is the type of unity that Jesus is praying about. This is our call, and this is what we're called to strive for in the here and now. And we're promised through this prayer of Jesus, we're promised that his love will be with us always, even till the end of the age. This kind of love that Jesus promises, we misunderstand this. Because this kind of love isn't an instantaneous feel-good moment when we encounter that we encounter when we're in a good mood. While that's nice and I'll take it any day of the week that I have it, this kind of love is not entirely the kind of love that Jesus promises. Because the kind of love Jesus promises will always be in our hearts and in our minds wherever we go. And it's a self-emptying, agape, selfless type of love that pours out, literally pours out from God onto the world in the presence of the resurrected Christ, who we believe to be everywhere, in all times, in all places, in all things, in such an abundance, substantively, in such an abundance that we cannot be separated by any barrier whatsoever from the fullness presence of God. This is the love that Jesus promises us. It's not a feeling. It's an experience. It's a way of life. And it never stops being with us, ever. And so I want to step back and help us reflect back into this story that we heard in the Gospels, that we've been hearing throughout the Easter season. Let's recap a little bit about the horror and the heartbreak that the disciples encounters at Jesus' crucifixion, and then their terror and fear and amazement of the resurrection stories and all his appearances. And then this transformation they experienced when they realized that with God, our lives truly never end. It changed these people. It changed them for what they were willing to do. It changed their entire existence. I mean, here we have in the story a group of rural people, of Galileans that grew up, and now they're willing to leave their country, and they're willing to leave their people, and they're willing to go anywhere in the known world, a world that's very strange to them, to go into the known world to proclaim a message of good news, and they're even willing to stand up for their truth so boldly that many of them willingly die for their message. And they do it in such a way with boldness and with a love that surpasses even life itself. This love that Jesus poured out on them pours out today on us too, to call us into our better selves, doing service for a world that keeps on hurting, even in the summer, to call us into our united selves, where we are able to create psychologically safe environments, not just for our friends, but we commit to living into a reality of making our world a safer place, too. And most importantly, to live into that promise that Jesus made for his disciples, that his love will be with them until the end of time. To not only feel that love in our hearts and in our emotions, but to feel the empowerment in that love, to do the work we've been given to do, to in return, to love God with all our heart, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. To share love, to unite in love, and to fully experience Christ's self-emptying love. Jesus' prayer for us today invites us to a better life, a life of empathy, a life of listening, a life of compassion, a life where people care for one another, and one that creates psychologically safe environments that build trust and care and concern and compassion for all people everywhere. Christ's love has already been poured out upon you. Upon you. It's literally been poured out everywhere. That's why Christ is raised from the dead. That's why he ascended to heaven. His love is now absolutely everywhere. How are you going to immerse yourself in it? Share, unite, experience. Christ's love is waiting.